You are listening to the podcast of the Y Church of the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share his love.
We'll turn to scripture now together. Pete is going to share this reading with us. We're going to be in Galatians 4, the first seven verses. Thank you, Pete.
What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
Thanks, Pete. Well, we are in for a treat. Many of us are heading to a marriage event this afternoon. That's called Growing Your Marriage for Life. It's that occasion that brought our speaker to us today. Picked him up at the airport last night. And when we were setting it up, we asked any chance we could do a double whammy. And would you come and preach on Sunday morning, not just speak at the marriage event? To which he said yes. Chris Corsi serves as president of Thrive Today, whose mission is to spread hope that comes from relational transformation. For nearly 25 years, Chris has been developing and practicing brain-based solutions to make relationships work. He started out his career specializing in severe trauma and abuse. For a number of years, he also pastored a small congregation in Michigan. Chris is a published author with 10 books in print. His most recent couple of books include The Joy Switch, How Your Brain's Secret Circuit Affects Your Relationships and How You Can Activate It. In another book, The Four Habits of Raising Joy-Filled Kids, co-authored with Dr. Marcus Warner. Chris enjoys spending time with his wife, Jen, and their two sons, Matthew and Andrew. In addition to studying, writing, jogging, and exercising, Chris enjoys the outdoors and is one of the rare people who actually likes the snow. So we apologize, Chris, for letting you down this year. But Michigan's probably not been any different. So visiting from beautiful Holland, Michigan, if you would give a warm welcome to our guest, Reverend Chris Corsi.
Thank you very much. It's so good to be here with all of you. I've just felt the love and joy since I've arrived. And yeah, you put in the order for some warm weather for me. That's okay. There's no complaints about the lack of snow here. Yes, so today's scripture reading is one that I'm very excited about. When Pastor Bjorn shared the flow of working through Galatians and it landed in Galatians 4, I looked at this passage and I thought, what an excellent passage to preach on today. So I'm really excited to share. Part of what the passage points to today is that we are God's children. You have been invited to eat, to dine at God's table. And this gift is free. There's nothing you can do to earn your spot at God's table. This is God's family. And so we've been invited into God's family. We can be called children of the Most High God. We've been set free from slavery. And you know, when I think about being enslaved, I think about being enslaved to sin. And even though I grew up in the church, as I got a little bit older, I actually drifted. You see, in Lake Michigan, by where we live, we have rip currents. And I have to teach my sons how to swim and enjoy the lake, but how to watch for rip currents. Because rip currents, if you get caught in a rip current, it's going to push you out away from shore. And if you try to fight the rip current, you're just going to get tired. It's not going to be a good situation.
So the way that you get out of a rip current is you swim parallel to the beach. So don't try to fight it by swimming back to the beach. Swim parallel to the beach, and you get out of that rip current. That saves your life. So I got led. I was basically got caught in a rip current, and I drifted from God, and I stopped going to church. It wasn't that I didn't believe in God. It was that I believed that God didn't like me or God was angry with me because I just couldn't do all the right things no matter how hard I tried. I finally just gave up and I just felt like no matter what I do, I'm never going to be enough for God. This got me through high school. I became very wild and self-destructive. I got caught in a partying lifestyle and it got me into college. And I was just pulled out away from shore, just drifting, just trying to stay afloat. And in college, I got two DUIs within a year. That's what you call a really bad plan. And when I got my two DUIs, I thought my life was over. I come from a loving family. Like I said, I grew up in the church. I even believed that God was real. But I had these distortions of God's character and God's heart. So I can clearly remember after that second DUI, my friends bailed me out of jail. I walked outside to the parking lot. I looked up to the sky. And I said, God, what do you want from me? I was mad at God. I thought, he's just punishing me for being a bad boy. And I'd been a bad boy. But something happened when I looked up to the sky and I yelled at God. There was a thought that I hadn't had before. And the thought was an image in my mind. And the thought was, it was just a picture of Jesus standing here with his arms out, just like this. And the sense that I had when I had this image of Jesus just standing here, like, Chris, why are you running from me? All I want to do is be close to you. Why are you running? And that thought surprised me because I thought Jesus would be mad. Like, see, Chris? What a bad boy you've been. Yep, you deserve this stuff because you've been bad. But instead it was like, why are you running from me? Just come here. I just want to be with you. I had a chance to do a summer internship after that. And it was with the Christian ministry. And doing this internship and watching God work and meet with people with severe trauma and severe abuse changed my life. And I started to learn that we have a God who welcomes us to his table, no matter how bad we've been, no matter what we've done. There's a seat at God's table with your name on it. We can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't do all the right things to get it. It is a seat with your name on it. And so what Paul's talking to the Galatians about here is that we have a wonderful gift that we could never repay or earn. And here I am 28 years later from that moment where I was mad at God and I became a pastor. I devoted my life to serving God and to helping people learn the joy and the maturity so that they can connect with the living God and they can be the person that God's called them to be, enveloped in God's joy, not running on fear like I was. Because fear has to do with punishment. So there's nothing we can do to earn the seat at God's table. There's no strings attached. It's Jesus welcomes us, and he just says, please join me. Don't run from me. You don't have to hide from me. I just want to be with you. So God's made a way for all of us to come to him. And this is what Paul's after here with the Galatians. We've been given this wonderful gift. And we are now considered God's children. So we are God's family now. And you see what's interesting is in the Roman household, the father had slaves. He had children, but he also had slaves. But the father's son was the heir to the entire estate. Everything the father owned, everything the father had worked to build and to gain belonged to the children, belonged to his child. His child had the right to the whole kingdom, to the household, to the wealth. And you see, Slaves did all the work of cleaning the house. They set the table. They cooked the food. They cleared the table. They cleaned the dishes. You see, to be a slave in Roman times, you had no rights. You were considered property. You would be considered kind of like a lawnmower is to our mind here. Like, you think about a lawnmower that you own. It's just a piece of property, isn't it? Right? A car. So back then, slaves were just property. They had no rights of their own. It was a terrible position to be in. They couldn't join the family for the meal. They often had to eat like some cheap old bread, maybe some old sour wine. Now, if you were in a wealthy household, you might get some vegetables. But slaves didn't eat well, and they surely couldn't eat with the family. And so what we see here is the slaves had the job of serving the guests, but they didn't get to enjoy the benefits of the children of the father. And so what's happening in Galatians, Paul is trying to tell the Galatians that God is changing our identity from one of slavery, slave to sin and bondage to sin, to that of sonship, freedom, and joy. That we are no longer slaves that have to serve the table but not eat at the table with the family. You are now God's children. You sit at the table with God. He has a place for you at his table. It's a free gift. We can't earn it. So in John 16, Jesus tells the disciples he's leaving soon. So in John 16, Jesus is preparing the disciples. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be leaving here very soon. But he says, but very truly I tell you, it's for your own good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go away, the advocate is going to come to you. So God's saying Jesus is going to give us his spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a gift. So Jesus went to the Father, and Jesus sent his spirit to live in us. Several months ago, I lost a close friend of mine. I lost a good friend of mine to cancer. And I'd walked with my friend for about 10 years from the day that he found out he was diagnosed with cancer. And I knew his family very well. They were close friends. And one day he asked me, Chris, would you be the power of attorney for my family? Would you take care of my stuff to make sure that my kids get my stuff? Now, honestly, I didn't know what a power of attorney meant. I'd never been a power of attorney before. I had no idea what I was getting into. But I love my friend. I loved his family. And I said, yes, I will do that. So I became a guardian and a manager of his estate. I was involved and in charge with overseeing his finances and making sure all the ducks were in a row. So he was leaving his money and his investments and his belongings to his family, to his kids. But he didn't want the children to receive it all at one time. It was going to be broken up over years. As they got older, they would get so much. As they got older. And so my job was to oversee this process. And in a sense, it's executing his will, just making sure that happens the way that he wanted it to happen. So the children had certain privileges simply because they were children of their father. So they were receiving what he worked hard, he and his wife had worked so hard on to earn. The children were just going to inherit that over time. They didn't have to do anything to earn it. There was no earning his riches. They were simply his children, right? There wasn't a single thing they could do to inherit their father's kingdom, their father's estate, their father's wealth. They were entitled to that inheritance because they were children of the father. And the banks recognized the children as the heirs to the estate. So if your name was the children of that father, then you had authority and you had weight. You had rights and you had privileges. So what Paul's telling the Galatians here is they're entitled to their father's wealth. They're entitled to their father's kingdom here. God brought them into his family. Even Gentiles, who were before kind of considered the outcasts, Paul's saying even the Gentiles have a seat at the table now, and you can't earn it. There's nothing you could do to earn the seat. You know, Paul even refers to them as children of Abraham now. They're children of the promise. That's kind of a big deal for the Gentiles at that time to say, you're now part of the family. If you accept the free gift of Jesus Christ, then you have a seat at this table. And so this is kind of a big deal here, what Paul's telling them. So what Paul's saying to the Jewish people here, he's saying, you were once enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. And he's telling the Gentiles, you were once slaves to the weak and the worthless principles of this world, from verse 9. So God rescued the Jewish people from condemnation, and he redeemed his people from sin and from exile. God rescued the Gentiles from idolatry. You see, the Gentiles at that time lived in a Roman world. This was a world of polytheistic idolatry, which meant that there were a lot of gods that the Gentiles worshipped. Lots of gods, but they were required by law to worship the emperor as God, right? So Rome saw the emperor as God. The Gentiles had to worship the emperor as a god. They had to do certain things to be loyal to that god, lower G, right? So this worship was a foundational way of living for the Galatian Gentiles. But yet, Paul's telling the Galatians, God has rescued you. By Roman law, Jewish people, they did not have to participate in worshiping the emperor. They were cleared from that. So they didn't have to abide by those rules. But the Gentiles, you were supposed to worship the emperor as God and to pledge your loyalty, right? And that's what we would call idolatry. So the Gentile Christians had these two worlds here to live in. They didn't really fit into the synagogue very well. There were some God-fearers in the synagogue that Gentiles could do, but that's where Gentiles would have to be circumcised and all these other things that Paul's saying, no, you don't have to do this. But they didn't really fit in at the synagogue, and they didn't really fit into the Roman world that was full of idolatry. So the Gentile Christ followers were like, where do we go? What do we do? We don't fit in over here, and we don't fit in over there. So Paul's telling the Galatians, there's a third option here. And the third option is, you're children of the living God. You have an identity in Christ. Your identity in Christ is distinct. And Paul's saying to the Gentiles, do you again want to be enslaved to the idolatry that you were rescued from? Like, you have a seat at this table. Why would you want to go eat at any other table? Right? You are now God's children. You are God's family. We don't worship the emperor. Right? You don't have to go be circumcised and try to follow the law in order to be saved. Like, you receive a gift, a free gift that God's given you through his son. And by receiving that gift, you now are his children. So you now have the rights and the privileges that are allowed you as God's children. You get to sit at God's table. And if you think about the role of the table in Roman life, like the table and food, that's where the good stuff happened. Mealtime was more than just eating food. Mealtime was fellowship. A lot of things and discussions and decisions happened around the table. So you wanted to be at the table because that's where the good stuff happens. And God's saying, you now have a right to sit at my table, and you can't earn it. There's nothing you can do except take the free gift. And so the Gentile believers not only were sons of Abraham now, but they were also sons of God the Father because of their faith in Jesus of Nazareth. And we also learn that God has given us his Spirit that now lives in us. So when you receive that free gift, you get a deposit. You get God's Spirit dwelling within you. And it's that Spirit within us that cries, Abba, Father. And so Abba in Greek is Alpha, Beta, Beta, Alpha. And it's a transliteration of the Aramaic word for Father that's used in Hebrew. Kind of like the English word Papa. I liked our worship this morning about worshiping about good morning, Dad. Good morning, Dad. That's what we're supposed to feel here. Like, this is Dad. So Abba is meant to remind us of the Hebrew word Av, which means father. And when we think about father, our heavenly father, we're to think about Jesus constantly interacting with God the Father and calling him father. So Jesus often prayed to the Father, and he addressed him as Father, Abba. So this was a way that Jesus often prayed. He interacted with his Father. And the things that he heard his Father saying, that's what he would speak. And the things that he saw his Father doing, that's what he would do. So our Father in heaven has welcomed us as his sons and his daughters. So we now inherit God's kingdom, God's wealth, God's luxurious gifts are now received. You have every right to them because you're God's children. When Jesus said, I'm leaving to go prepare a place for you, because you have a home now, right? You have a home. You have a family. And you are now part of God's family. So for some of us, when we think about becoming part of God's family, we might think, I don't know, you know, maybe for some of us, our families weren't a place of joy and peace. And so when we think about being part of a family, your mind might have some unhelpful opinions about that. Like, I'm not sure what it means, you know, to be part of God's family. If God's family is like my family growing up, that doesn't bring me a lot of joy, right? And sometimes in families where there's pain and there's hardship, we have to be on guard. Your needs weren't met. Maybe you felt some neglect. So we should clarify a little bit. What does it mean to be part of God's family? So it now means that we're part of a family where glad to be together joy is prominent. Not fear, right? Because fear has to do with punishment. To be part of God's family is people are glad to see you. You have a God whose face lights up to see you. When you walk into the room, Jesus is glad to see you. Just like that day at the lowest point in my life, I thought my life was over. I had this thought of Jesus welcoming me. Chris, why are you running from me? See, I didn't understand that Jesus actually wanted to keep a relationship bigger than my problems. Because we might be used to families that keep problems bigger than relationships. But in God's economy, in God's family, relationships take priority over pain and problems. And that means you're more important to me than anything. You are part of my family. So fear doesn't dwell there. Our needs are met at the right times, in the right ways. There's security and there's joy there, rather than fear and anxiety. In God's family, you're loved, you're seen, you're heard, you're valued. Your needs are important. You're wealthy, you're rich, because you inherited God's wealth and God's kingdom. So we are rich as God's children. And in John 16, verse 24, Jesus tells the disciples, until now you've not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So here we have Jesus saying, ask, like turn to me and let that joy in you grow. And not only grow, but let the joy be complete. And so we can use that as a picture here, that our joy in Christ can be complete as we turn to God the Father. By faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, whose Spirit now lives within you. And we can say, Father, see me, Father. I'm struggling here. Father, I have these needs. I have these hurts. I have this stuff happening in my life. So we are rich. When I had that sense of Jesus being with me that day in the lowest point of my life where I felt like I was a slave to sin, there was no joy, there was no peace, there was no love. When I encountered the God who's with me, who's glad to be with me in that place, I thought, now this is the God that I'm excited about. Now this is the God I want everybody to know. So what happened is I started telling everybody about Jesus because I started to realize who Jesus really was. I wasn't seeing him through my pain and my distortions. Like this is a God who's glad to be with his people. This is good news. And he's made a seat for us at his table. So I started talking about Jesus. I went from Mr. Partier to Mr. Telling Everybody About Jesus. I started carrying a Bible around. I started reading the Bible. I can still remember one of my roommates one time walking in the living room where we lived, and I was reading the Bible, and he looked at me like, "What is that?" I said, "What's the Bible? Why are you reading that?" "Because it's about Jesus." You know, people knew me as Mr. Partier and Mr. Wild Guy, but suddenly it's like, oh no, I'm excited about this Jesus. Do you know he's glad to be with us? And do you know no matter what you've done to mess things up, he welcomes you, he forgives you. He wants to dine with you, he wants to be with you, he wants to love you. That's a God that we serve, and that's a God that we follow. And that's what Paul's trying to tell the Galatians, like, look, you don't have to do anything to earn this gift. Quit trying to do all the right things. Quit trying to do some of these old things. You don't have to do that anymore. You are welcomed as is. God welcomes us as is. So let's close with prayer that God would continue to do the work in us and that we would see him as he is. So Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time today. Thank you for this chance to worship you and get together to honor you. Lord, I thank you. We are welcomed at your table. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Your cords of loving kindness draw us to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, would you take the brokenness? Would you take the distortions? Would you take the performance mentality we might have to try to earn our spot or earn a spot at your table? Lord, would you just take all of that? Let us lay it at your feet today. We just ask, Jesus, that we would see you as you are. You are a good shepherd. You are a faithful friend. You are the living God. You are a redeemer. You are the Holy One of Israel. And Lord, thank you that we can come to you today and receive your freedom, your invitation for eternal life. And Lord, we pray that that joy would well up within us, that we would share that with others, that we would share that good news, that reality that there is a God who is glad to be with people. And we can receive that gift today. And God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at thewychurch.org.